This is the Bill Cartwright Show featuring our buddy Steve Cohen. A special guest today is Mr. Bart Bowers. Bart was my teammate at USF. Great guy, great player, educator. Bart, happy to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, what I really, and it's always interesting for a teammate, I don't really know, like, your story. I know, you know, you grew up in Richmond. Why don't you tell us about growing up? I think John F. Kennedy High School, is that right?
That's correct. That's correct. The Eagles, born in Los Angeles. My parents lived there for about 2 years. Moved to Berkeley, lived in Berkeley for till the sixth grade, then we moved to Richmond, which was culture shock, because at the time, Richmond was kind of like a country town.
Wow.
especially compared to Berkeley, because I had a unique experience, because I lived not too far from the UC Berkeley campus, and I vividly remember during the 60s, not being able to go outside due to the fact of the tear gas from People's Park.
Wow. So you were that close to that, huh?
Yeah, because the wind would blow south and it, you know, all the kids had to go inside. So that's what People's Park meant to me, meant that we had to go inside.
So when you grew up, were you a sports kid growing up?
Yeah. Yeah. Played football, baseball, basketball. Basketball probably was my worst sport. It's funny because when I went to high school, I wanted to play football, and got cut, and like didn't make the team.
Wow.
And so we're playing. It's PE time, and somehow I have no idea how. But I was in a PE sports, where it was like all the football players and basketball players. And so we were playing touch football, and I was beating all of the DBs, you know, that started varsity. And the head football coach was like, "Bart, how come you didn't play football?" I'm like, "Oh, so you got jokes, huh?" And it's like, "What do you mean?" I said, "I tried out, I didn't make it." And so he goes, you know, he kind of like scratched his head, and he goes, "Well, you should come out for spring football." Oh, so you really have jokes. You think I'm just a glutton for punishment? I'm gonna come out again and, you know, get cut? I'm not gonna do it. And so I basically had to negotiate a no cut contract for me to try out for football. And I played football, played against some, like I said, the RBL was really a football conference as opposed to basketball. Played against a guy named Harvey Salem, who was about 8 years in the league. Another joke, a guy from El Cerrito he played for Tampa Bay and retired from Tampa Bay, but I made all league over him, and I never let him forget that. But it was like Richmond was a town that had a lot of athletes, and we just played.
So what really led you to basketball, and who was your coach that assisted you on that journey?
Basketball, it's funny because I remember enjoying basketball because as a little kid, my father took me to a park, and you know how you doing it underhand and you can't put it in the basket, and that intrigued me, and it was like, I want to learn how to put it in the basket. My coach was Roger Kaler, and did a lot of work with me But also, I would say, I went to Kansas every summer. And in Kansas, I lived about 30 miles from a junior college called Independence Junior College, which is one of the top JC programs around. And I just spent the summers playing with those guys and improved.
So as you exit high school, what led you to USF?
It's funny. And the reason I say it's funny is when I was, and I don't even know how much older Phil Smith was, but I remember watching Phil Smith playing the NCAA tournament, and they were playing UCLA and doing well, and I was rooting for USF, and I remember telling my mother, that's when I'm going to go to college, right? Then I remember seeing you in the TOC and your performance was unbelievable. I mean, you were a legend. I mean, it's like no one had seen anything like that before. And it's like, I'd kind of like to play with that guy. And so, fast forward, was being recruited. USF was kind of like, you know, they'd send the letter, but they really weren't recruiting. But I remember every school when they'd say, well, who's recruiting you? And I'd say USF, and they, oh no, you don't want to go there. No, you don't want to go there. You'll never play. And after hearing for so many times, matter of fact, my high school coach said, you'll never play. My best friend was like, Bart, go to Santa Clara. You'll get playing time. That's a good program. I mean, to this day, he's like mad at me. He's like, no, you should have went to Santa Clara. And I'm like, no, I went where I needed to be. But I guess I'm a person that always likes a challenge. And with the talent that we had at USF, it was bananas. It was insane. I mean, like really, really insane.
So once you got to school there, what was your first impressions?
Oh, okay. I got one for you. And I don't even know, because I don't think you even had to practice the first, because you had broken your arm.
Yeah, I got my arm broken by James Hardy in practice. Hardy,
yeah. Well, we were doing like running the bleachers, right? And we just up and down. And I remember, I think it was John Reed fell down the stair. And it was like, so I go over there. Now, part of it was concern. Part of it was, okay, I need a breath. Maybe I can get like a minute to breathe. And I remember Coach Gaylor was like, Bart, run. We have trainers for that. Just keep running. And so I finally make it through practice. And I was sitting down. I had my head down. And I was like, my God, how am I going to tell my parents I had a full scholarship and I quit? Because I can't come back tomorrow. This is too hard. And I can't say it was the only thing, but I'm deep in my thoughts having these doubts, and Rod Williams walks by and kicks my foot and says, welcome to college basketball.
Yeah. I remember that because we, the first week or so of practice was really hard. We had to run. We had to run Kezar. It was a nightmare. And I'm still not sure until this day why we're doing that, but it was really tough. So do you remember your first game you got in at USF?
Yeah, San Francisco State. We were up by about 20. Because to me, more than anything else, I remember as we were on the outside getting ready to run in, and it was like the noise. And I was like, oh my God. And also the idea of seeing you, James, Winford, Chubby, there's practice, but then there's game. And it's like, for me, I'm giving all I have to practice just to survive practice. And you guys are like, I don't want to say going through the motions, but you're practicing, right? Because it's practice.
Right.
Well, the level, the game intensity even shocked me, because it was like, oh my God, these guys are like, this is serious.
Yeah, it was very high level of basketball that a lot of guys, in particular, James Winford was a pro at school.
Yeah, he was.
He was 24/7 basketball. Maybe to the chagrin of even going to class, but he was a definitely professional basketball player.
Oh, well, there was first month, I remember Winford sat me down. So what are you going to do? I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, well, are you going to go to school, or are you going to be a basketball player? And I'm like, well, my parents said I better go to school. So I guess I'm gonna go to school and play basketball. And he looked me straight in the eye and said, you can't do both. You have to pick. Which, you know, I disagree on, but that was his mentality.
Of course, that was his mentality. And that's what made him the player that he was. He was a great player.
Yeah.
But he didn't show up in class very often. And I will say the rest of us were there for the most part. Hey, talk about a couple of your favorite teammates. We know one of them.
You're talking about Marvin.
Of course.
And it's okay. And it's funny because I met Marvin at
Marvin DeLoach
at Superstar Camp in San Diego. And it was funny because he had all these braids in his hair, flip-flops, a shirt, I mean, no shirt, and basketball shorts. And he's just, and this is pre, you know, guys having earrings. And Marvin had a big hoop in his ear. And I was like, who is this guy? But he could play. And so we kind of got to know each other. And we were watching you guys play Cal. I think it was the night Marlon Redmond like went off. I think he went like 10 for 11 or 10 for 10 from the floor against Cal. And after the game, Marvin goes, so where are you going to school? Now, mind you, this is like preseason. I mean, and I have no idea. Oh, why don't we just go to USF together? All right, Marvin. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. No, seriously. Yeah. I'm serious. I'm going to be there. I got you there. But that was my introduction to Marvin.
We should say Marvin did go to school at USF. Marvin was a great, for one thing, high school player. He played every sport as well, basketball, football, great athlete. and had a nice career, but he's a funny guy. As a matter of fact, he's a comedian. And as a matter of fact, he was our team barber at one point.
Yes, he was. Because I remember the first time you sat in this chair, because you weren't totally sold at the time.
Oh, I was nervous, as I should be. Talk about the coaches at USF.
I have the unique experience that I had three coaches in 4 years. Coach Gaylord was the hardest as far as for me. It just, and I don't know if it was just because of me not being mature enough, but his practices were brutal to me. Nice guy, also Richmond guy.
Yes.
But knew the game. And I would say he had us the most prepared for what another team was going to do, in my opinion. It's like, if we got beat, it wasn't because of, like, you know, we didn't know what they were going to do. Because the scouting, the different nuances. Belamine, who was actually the coach that recruited me, I would say it was funny because especially his second year, we would be in timeouts and he said, we're going to run such and such. And I would always, why are we going to run that? Why don't we run the play that we practice? And he'd look at me and, you know, kind of like, you know, Bart, shut up. And then he'd go, yeah, we should do that. So we're going to run that play. And so that was interesting with him. And the third was Pete Berry. In my opinion, he was thrust into a situation too early. I mean,
interesting. Why do you say that?
Okay. I remember he called, because when Belamine got fired, it was like the week before I had knee surgery. And so I had knee surgery, and I remember Coach Berry calling me to, you know, see how I was doing. And at the time, he was concerned that he was going to lose his job like everybody else. And he calls me, he goes, Bart, guess what? What? They made me head coach. And so I said, you know, me, congratulations. And he literally had a look of, okay, so now what do I do? And I remember we were practicing, and it wasn't a great practice, but we're in the, I would, matter of fact, I believe I was sitting on your Wally Hayes deemed bench in the trainer room, right? Because see, Bill had a bench that was just for Bill, so he could ice his ailments.
Yeah, I think that's because I spent so much time in there icing.
Like I said, I got to take it over. So he comes in, and he's like, literally, you know, he's talking about, you know, you guys aren't doing this right, you aren't doing that right. And Kenny McAllister, looks at him and said, "Coach, just relax. We're going to make you coach of the year." And coach looked up at him, said, "You think? Oh, yeah, no, I guarantee it. We're going to win the league and you're going to be coach of the year." And he was.
Do you have a game that you remember, whether it's your first game or last game? What game do you remember best at USF?
Brigham Young in the NCAA tournament.
Now, why that game?
I think I hit the first three shots. And it's not the idea of me hitting the first three shots. I don't know if you remember or not, but the staff was, "Bart, you're going to have to shoot the ball because they're going to collapse on you. They're going to collapse on Bill. They're going to collapse on Bill. And, you know, like double and triple team you. So you're going to have to be a threat." And it was funny. Like I said, I hit those three shots. And then after that, I could just throw it into you and run down court. Because, you were unstoppable in the paint.
Well, we weren't worried about it. I think maybe you were, but we were fine about it. So after you graduate from college, what were you thinking? Did you know what you wanted to do after you graduated from USF?
Yeah, I knew what I wanted to do, but then reality sets in. Matter of fact, the day after I graduated from Cal Palace, I got on a flight and flew to Caracas, Venezuela, and played with Chevy Cox in Venezuela for that summer. And after that,
did you like that? Did you like that experience? Playing down there.
It was different. I mean, it was really different. The idea of there were actual places that we played in, it was a gym that was surrounded by chicken wire. And it's like, and you're like, what's the chicken wire for? Well, the chicken wire was so when they got, mad and threw bottles, you were safe. Right?
Wow. So where'd you go from there?
I tried out with the New Jersey Nets, didn't make it, but had an opportunity to play in the CBA with the Alberta Dusters. I think that was the name of the team. And I played that one year, and Western Canada is one of the coldest places on earth. I mean, we used to look forward to going to Billings, Montana, because it was warmer.
That's cold.
That's how cold it was. And I remember had a good experience, played well, there were guys that were that actually played, that played in the league, and there were guys that I played as well as that ended up, signing contracts. But I knew this, there's got to be something better for me. And the reason I say that is because you literally had guys, 30-year-old guys, sitting around sharing a newspaper, getting frustrated when, he got a 10-day contract. I'm way better than him. And it's like, so you guys are arguing over 10 days. There's got to be something better in life than, a 10-day contract is the highlight of your of your career.
Right. So where did you go from there?
Still didn't let go of the dream. What I did, I played in L.A. Summer League and with New Jersey again. But I didn't get invited back to camp. So what I ended up doing was working for, what is the name of that? Security Pacific Bank in their management program. And I found out real early that that's not what I need to do for a living, because that was the worst thing in the world. And I was living in Pacifica, and I remember going home to, is it all right if I move back home? She said, yeah, you move back home. So I quit. And I remember moving all my stuff back, and my mother was like, you know, here's your meal. It was your, you know, favorite meal. Everything's wonderful. It's good to have you back home. And then after, you know, after dinner, so what you gonna do? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, you can't live here free. So what you gonna do? And so I said, well, you know, I'll start looking for a job Monday. Well, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go to 1108 Bissell, and that is basically the school district office. And said, you're gonna, since you graduate, all you have to do is buy a credential, a 30-day substitute credential. And so, and here, I'll give you the money, right? But you're going to pay me back. And you're going to substitute teach until you decide what you're going to do. And so that was the beginning of my educational career.
Wow. So your mom led you to your what would be your career?
Yep.
As a educator.
Yep.
Now what did you end up teaching?
Math and algebra.
Now what level did you teach at? Were you a grammar school, junior high, high school teacher, or did you work
junior high and high school? Mainly junior high, but I did teach high school also.
Now what did you like best?
The same, if that makes sense. For different reasons. They were the same. High school I like because they're young adults and you can talk to them as young adults. Middle school, they don't have a clue of what's going on, and you can guide them so that they don't fall to the praise to the of the silly mistakes that many make.
Now, you taught for a long time. Is there a difference between kids from when you started coaching? I'm sorry, from when you started teaching, from when you ended? Are the kids different, or are the problems different?
In my opinion, if we look at the core child, they're basically the same. Now, how they're treated by adults is totally different. And the problems that they face as children is totally different. I mean, as a child, and I do realize that I had an extremely blessed life and especially an idyllic childhood. But I still knew kids that didn't, right? But the idea of having to worry about what's going to be for dinner, or if the electricity is going to be on and you're in the fourth grade, just, and that's on, you know, that's, it's common knowledge to you. That's heavy for a child.
That's a lot of pressure for a kid to have to worry about in school.
Also, another difference is, hate to say this, but the idea of learning, when I was growing up there, you know, of course I didn't get, you know, there were classes I got C's in, right? But these classes I learned a lot in, and, you know, I could say, oh, that they were a good teacher and I learned a lot. Well, now kids really aren't concerned about learning. What's my grade? I just want to know, did I get an A? You know, it's like, and even parents are grade conscious as opposed to learning. It's kind of like the practice thing. It's like, if you practice well, you'll play well, so you'll see the result. But the idea is kids are, you know, I did my homework last night, so do I have an A? We've had 20 assignments. How you think you're gonna get an A with one assignment?
Hey, Bart, how's your family?
Fine, doing well. Believe it or not, I have a granddaughter that graduated from high school in 2020. COVID graduation.
That's impressive. My oldest one is 16.
Okay.
So that's very impressive, even though I do have 7 grandkids.
Oh, well, you're killing me there. You got big numbers.
I got big numbers. I got a big big group. But, well, Bart, thank you so much for being on our show. We really appreciate it. Appreciate you sharing your journey. I think that, you know, you've had a unique one. I really admire the fact that you're an educator. You get to touch people every single day. To be able to make that contribution is something that's really special. So I've always appreciated you, and thank you very much for being on.
Oh, no, thank you. Thank you. It was a pleasure.